Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, was giving us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be working at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, once again, this is the Blessed Wednesday, another God's Word to Man broadcast. Tonight we are part 4. The original setup, Eternal Judgment, part 4. And my brother Robert will be joining me in a few minutes. So while we await for him to get on, let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you once again for another blessed day, another golden opportunity to enter into the Word of God. Once again, Lord, we make this petition unto you that you don't let us go into your Word alone, but to be accompanied by your Spirit. Because without your Spirit, we cannot comprehend the written Word of God. So therefore, that's why we need the Holy Ghost to reveal to us what thus says the Lord. And help us on this journey, Lord God, to receive understanding, revelation, and knowledge. I pray that you will bless the speakers tonight, that you will anoint our mouths to bring glory and honor to your name. And help us, Lord, this day to rightly divide the Word of God in the name of Jesus, to give it to the people as you will have us to give it to them. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we thank you, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise, and we magnify you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for his word. Glory be to God. Amen. And as I said, my brother will be joining us in a few minutes. So while we're waiting for him to go on, let us go into the Word of God tonight. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. The book of Genesis, chapter 18. Glory to God. And my brother went here, I think it was in part 2. Amen. We're going to go here again. Glory to God. Genesis, chapter 18, verse 25. And the word I want to give you tonight on eternal judgment is that God is the judge. We're going to look at a word here that tells us who is the judge and who will be judged. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In Genesis chapter 18, and we're looking here, I'm going to go to verse 25, but we're looking here at an example of intercession, where Abraham was interceding on the behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, that God would have mercy, amen, and he was not interceding for them to continue on in their wickedness, to give them a free pass, but that God may have mercy, amen. And in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, as Abraham is talking to the Lord, in fact, we'll start at verse 24, Abraham said, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, but thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge, capital J, of all the earth do right. Glory be to God. I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. How are you?
Oh, blessed once again, brother, in the Lord. Thank God for this golden opportunity. I am humbled that we have been given this chance to give the word. Amen. And any two times Satan is coming at you like he's coming at you, then you got to be doing something right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I know that he comes at us. One of the things he tries to do is to get us to stop doing what we're doing for the Lord. But I refuse to do that. I refuse to stop because we have an assignment from God. Amen. And that's why I welcome the prayers of the saints. Glory to God. We are in Genesis chapter 18. We are doing Eternal Torment tonight, part 4. And I'm going to give the word, and then my brother's going to come behind me. And as I said before, I want to give the word concerning who is the judge and who will be judged. And we're looking here in Genesis 18, as my brother went there, I believe it's in part 2, where we see the act of intercession. Abraham is interceding in dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's talking to the Lord, say, hey, Lord, if you find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? And he tells the Lord in verse 25, he said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge, capital J, okay, capital J, the judge of all the earth do right. Now, when he says earth, this is dealing with the inhabitants here on this planet. And on this planet, you have saved and unsaved, okay? And the word let us know that he is the judge of all the earth. See, no man can say that. No man can be the judge of all the earth. When you look, for example, when you look at our judges on this earth, they're all limited in their authority. They are either limited to a city, or limited to a state, or limited to a country. Okay? If you are a judge here in America, that don't necessarily mean you can run over there to Australia and be a judge. you don't have that authority, okay? But God is letting us know that he has the authority to judge who? All. He is the judge. Hallelujah.
Right.
And he let man know that, hey, you see, some people here on earth, they escape the judicial system, okay? And they think in their minds they have gotten away with what they're done, what they have done. Amen? But see, since God is the judge, okay, of all the earth, you may have appeared that you have gotten away from this judicial system of man, but you will not get away from the judicial system of God. Glory to God. Because he judges all. And see, man's judicial system can be, get this, prejudice. It can be prejudice towards a color or a race. It can be prejudice towards a gender. Now, some man's judicial system that's set up to just, quote, judge a particular color. And you have some set up just to judge a particular gender. But see, since the word tells us God is the judge of all the earth, oh, that take care of color and gender. Amen. That take care of all that. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's look at Psalms chapter 9, and let's see something that David says here in Psalms chapter 9. Thank God for the word of God. Psalms chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8. Psalms chapter 9, verse 8. And David tells us, say, and he is talking about the Lord, shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to people in uprightness. Hallelujah. Shall judge the world same as being the judge of all the earth. And he tells us that he's going to judge in righteousness. Once again, God's judgment is not like man's judgment. See, man can be, man's judgment here on earth can be tainted. It can be influenced. In fact, many of y'all have heard of years of some judges that, quote, have been bribed, okay? Man's judgment can be influenced by organizations that he's connected to. As I gave you an example, I think in part one, there are Masons. There are judges who are Masons. And therefore, they were not many times judged the situation in righteousness. They will play the bias role because, hey, if you my Mason brother, I got to lighten the sentence, we'll help you get off. Amen. But here we're told here that God is going to judge the world in righteousness. There's not going to be anything tainted about his judgment. And once again, he talks about judging the world. Okay. Hallelujah. So we got two witnesses here showing us that God is not going to be biased or prejudiced or discriminatory in his judgment. He's going to judge the world. He's going to judge all the earth. Okay. So that means that there's no one where God says, I'm not going to judge you, but I'm going to judge him. Or I'm not going to judge him, I'm going to judge her. You don't have to worry about that. Hallelujah. And get this, by him being the judge, capital J, that means that no one can override his authority. See, when you look here on earth, the judges here on earth, if they ever find out that a judge was in error or wrong, then there's someone there who can, quote, override or overturn his verdict or his sentence. But he says God is the judge, can nobody overturn his verdict? No, no one can overturn his sentence. Do you understand that? So I don't understand. I don't care who you get to try to, quote, overturn judges here of man on this earth. You will never get anyone who can overturn the judgment of God. You will never get anyone who can overturn his sentence or his decision against a crime or against sin. Hallelujah. And this is the message. This is one of the messages we got to proclaim to the world. That God, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, is the judge. Okay? Amen. We have to quit being afraid to let the people know, no matter what religion or what cult they're in, who is the judge. That you will not escape his judgment on you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. And after that, I have one more verse, and I'm going to turn it over to my brother. Acts chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus. And as my brother said, we're going into the New Testament. For those of you who have been hollering and said, oh, there that brother Nate again, starting in that Old Testament. And I don't know why he doing that. Don't he know we are New Testament church today? What's wrong with him? Well, I say it to you like this. God is not like those other men was teaching. You know, you got one religion teaching that the God of the Old Testament is not the same God of the New Testament. Well, they're dead wrong. He's the same God. Amen. And Acts chapter 17, verse 31, or starting at verse 30, Paul said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent because it's going to tell us a reason why. Because he have appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness. There we go again. Paul in agreement with David by that man who he have ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men, and that he have raised him from the dead. Now, Paul said, God had appointed a day. Who is God to appoint a day? Who is that? Who he supposed to be to appoint a day? Well, I tell you who he is. Abraham told you, David told you, and now Paul is telling you he is the judge.
Man.
And if you haven't figured it out by now, he can do that. Okay? If you ain't figured it out by now, I thought I'd just lay it down for you though. He can do that. Hallelujah. He's going to judge the world. Once again, the word world here is dealing with the inhabitants here on this earth, saved and unsaved, okay? He's going to judge the world. Amen. He didn't put it in the hands of you and I, or those of you that's listening, because while we're subject to be biased, we might find out, we'll see somebody who didn't give us a piece of bubble gum last week, and we still mad at him. We're going to throw the hook at him, okay? Because why? We wanted that bubble gum. He wouldn't give it, but he gave it to someone else. So we still mad at him. So that means our judgment can be tainted. Amen? But see, God's judgment can't be tainted. There's nothing you can do, okay, to bribe the judge of all the earth. Amen? You can cry, squabble. You can have material things, say, I give you all of this. It ain't going to work. That's what I want you to know. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. And once again,
Amen.
You will not be able to find anybody on earth who can overturn his verdict. Okay? So you say, why are you stressing on this, Brother Nate? Because I say quit looking. Because you ain't going to find nobody. Okay? He's the judge of all the earth. He's going to judge the world.
Yes.
Amen. People, he's going to judge the world. Glory to God. Because he has the authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, all power, that word power means authority, is given where? To me, where? In heaven and in earth. Jesus said all power. Okay? Not some power. Not some authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. He has the authority to judge the world. Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now I want to look at one more scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Glory to God. He kalabashata. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank God for his spirit. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. We got to proclaim this, people. We got to proclaim this, okay? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 said, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Hallelujah. Do we see that? God is the one that judges the quick and the dead. Now, that word quick and dead originally means literally and figuratively quick and dead. The word quick means living. Okay. Hallelujah. The quick and the dead. So what does that mean? That means those who have spiritual life and physical living, and those that are dead are spiritually dead or physically dead. He going to judge all. That covers all. So instead of Peter just saying the world, he said the quick and the dead. Same thing. Okay? Same thing. Glory to God. But he said, who shall give an account to him? We got to let all men know you going to give an account to God. Do we know that there are some people out there think I ain't got to give an account to nobody? There are people that actually think that. And there are religions and cults that teaches people the same thing. You ain't got to give an account. In fact, they so busy calling people gods themselves, okay? Hey, you ain't got to give an account to nobody. Amen. Not at all. And here we come with the message that God is the judge of the world. And that's what you're saying to man when you tell him that. You got to give an account to him. Now, I'm here to tell you, when you spread the good news like that, you will not become the lovable one received by everybody. Okay? Everybody's not going to be taking your picture, putting it up on their wall, saying, "There's a man of God." None of that. So I'm going to really hate you bringing this message. But you got to, hey, if you're a child of God, this is part of your commission. And you have to let people know they're going to give an account because they're going to be judged. We got to tell our family folks, okay? Amen.
Amen.
We got to tell them. Some of them won't even tell our own family. They living in all kind of sin, doing any kind of sin, all kind of abominable works, coming in and doing all this strange and twisted stuff in your house. But because that's your little son or your little daughter or your cousin or your niece or nephew, you won't tell them. Do you know that God is going to be looking at you, Christian? Okay? That if you didn't warn them, that if you didn't let them know, say, "Hey, you got to repent," you're going to give an account for that. And I'm talking about really mean it, not saying it jokingly because you're scared that if you come and be straight with it, then they're not going to speak to you no more, which is a big chance they won't. But at least you've been and gave them the word of life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So God is the judge, and he's going to judge all. Ain't nobody escaping it, people. I don't care if the United States build a ship that takes you to Mars, okay? You can't get away from him. You know why? Because he made Mars, okay? So you can't get away from him. There's nowhere in the universe that you're going to talk about that you're going to escape God's judgment. I ain't got to give account anymore. I just move. Well, where you going? I mean, where you going to go? Okay. There's nowhere to go. You can't escape
right.
it. Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to, as they say, face the music. And it's blaring loud. You got to give an account. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
It's too much of us not giving people the full truth, and we letting some think that they can just do anything. And this is one of the things why it's been a failing in the churches, because now you see less and less respect for God in the quote the house of God. Now they doing anything in the quote in the services. As I told y'all before, I seen on YouTube on I think with two different services where the girl was up there doing the twerk, up in the choir stand, and doing the twerk. The other one was doing the twerk in front of the first pew, and people like, "Where the preacher at?" Some said, "Probably we're looking." Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I remember once upon a time, brother, that the woman come in with a skirt too short. The mothers on the motherboard would grab their coat and threw it over their legs, and they'd be looking at what you're doing. "You, baby, we don't come in like this." But now, oh, no. And see, we won't tell people, hey, you got to give an account of that. You're going to answer to God for that. So what we did, we done made them feel comfortable because we didn't baptize them in water and got them feeling like they okay and they finna bust heaven gates wide open. So we won't tell them, say, "Hey, this stuff you're doing, you got to give an account of this." Okay? You got preachers. I saw this a few months ago. Cussing in the pulpit. I mean cussing. Why? To get aroused out of people. When I saw that minister break out cussing and people went, "Wow, whoa, wow." He just had to look on himself and say like he did something great. He just don't know he had opened the door for a curse.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The pulpit now is being used for, it's just you being used for anything now.
Yes.
It's like an anything goes thing, okay? So I guess we got to the point, since we won't tell the people they got to give an account, I guess we in the ministry thinking we ain't got to give an account neither. So we're doing everything. Amen.
Amen.
And as my brother told you, you know, the people talking about, you can't judge me. So therefore, we don't say nothing to them. Sit up there and let them do whatever they want to do. Amen. And now old Joe that done everything under the sun in the church services, and we didn't warn him that he got to give an account for that. He thinking, oh, I'm finna fly into heaven wide open, buddy. I'm going with rocket boosters, and I'm on my way.
Amen.
But he's not going to make it.
Amen.
People that, you know, my brother and I, we're giving you this on eternal judgment. And as we told you before, this thing is serious. It ain't nothing to play with. If I knew I only had to give an account to man, I wouldn't even worry about it. I wouldn't, because I know once again, many times man can be flaky. He can be influenced and all that. But knowing I have to give an account to God, if many of us, and as I give it a turn over to my brother, if many of us would really think about, hey, what we do, we had to give an account to God, maybe we would stand on the truth more than what we're doing now. Amen. Because we're too afraid to tell people the truth, to tell them that homosexuality and lesbianism is abomination. We're too afraid.
Amen.
Too afraid. Telling them when they don't pay tithes, you're robbing God. We're too afraid. Amen. Mm-hmm. We won't tell them that. Tell them that they over there shacking and in fornication, they got to give account of God. We're too afraid. Why? Because the ones over there shacking, we just made them Sunday school superintendent. Amen. And the one that's at night dancing in a strip club, we just made a choir director. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. And we just throwing sacrament all over the place. We giving sacrament to anybody that come in the door. Okay? You can be a convicted murderer, okay? And still murdering. And we can have some knowledge you coming in that door. Sacrament time, we popping sacrament in front of you. We just have gotten out of control.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Glory to God. So now I'm going to turn it over into the hands of my brother. Take it away, brother.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we give you honor, praise, and glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord. And we bless us by your holy, righteous name, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you send your angels, Lord God, to give ears, eyes, hallelujah, understanding, enlightenment, illumination to the people, Lord God, that's listening to this blog talk, Lord God. Lord God, to your word, Lord Jesus, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Bless them, Lord Jesus, with all spiritual understanding, enlightenment, O Lord God, in Jesus Christ's holy righteous name. Send your angels, Lord God, hallelujah, Father, to deliver them out of the hand of the adversary, Lord God, that they might not be hindered, O Lord God, by the works of Satan, in the name of Jesus, that they might hear these words, O Lord God, take them in their hearts and plant them in their hearts. In Jesus Christ's holy righteous name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Let's go to Acts 5th chapter. Starting at the first verse.
Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. For those of you have your Bibles, hey, we want you to follow with us. We ain't trying to do nothing hideous. And want you to follow the scriptures with us. Those of you that don't have a Bible, hey, we ask that you, if you got a pencil, piece of paper, write this down. Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 1, going to verse 12. And the word of God says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being private to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While they remained, was it not thy own? And after it was so, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thought I'd put that in there for you, brothers and sisters. Since you,
amen.
People think that destruction is only in God's judgment is only in the Old Testament. Okay, it's not just in the Old Testament. It's both
amen.
In the Old and New Testament. And as a matter of fact, it's more in the New Testament than there is in the Old, okay? Because God promised more, the worst part of the judgment is coming upon the earth is yet to come. Thank you, Jesus. But
amen.
We don't pay attention like that. But we are always saying, like I said before, like my brother just told you, we're always saying, don't judge me. I don't want nobody
amen.
Judging me but God, okay? He's the only one can judge me. And they don't know what jeopardy they put themselves in when they say that. They don't understand that when they say they only want God to judge them, because God is a righteous judge, okay? All his judgments are righteous. Hallelujah. And all his judgments are fair. They're full of
amen.
Equity, okay? That means that you get just what you deserve, okay? You don't want that.
Amen.
Promise me. I promise you, you don't want that, okay? You don't want God to
amen.
Judge you and give you your just deserts. You don't go to God and say, give me what I deserve, Lord. Please give it to me. You don't want that. You think you want that, but you don't want God to judge you, okay? You're fixing your mouth because you want me to shut my mouth and telling you about the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You think my mouth, okay, because you say I can't judge you. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what the word of God says about you if you die in your sins. And if that's
amen.
Putting judgment on my mouth, then I'm judging you. Well, that's tough. Better get over it.
Amen.
Because we all been judged, okay? Don't you know that you living in a judgment while you still living in this earth, okay? You living in judgment. You know why? Because if you die in the shape that you're in, you're going to go to hell. And judgment already been passed upon you, okay? If you didn't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a judgment against you already. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, you can run around here thinking that it's all kind of balances that, you know, that God weighs up this and God don't weigh up nothing, okay?
Hallelujah.
Your sins, the Lord says, if you leave out of this world in sin, you're gonna have your part in hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there's no ifs, ands, buts about that. You can't sit there and argue about it and say, I wanna force my opinion. I wanna voice my opinion about that. I don't believe that's true, sir. See how far that's gonna get you. Tell Lord, hey, I refute that, Lord. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's true, Lord. And see how far that's gonna get you.
Amen.
Well, the Lord being the Spirit of Truth, okay, and knowing all truth and having all truth, what He says comes out of His mouth That's truth, okay? you can argue with me all you want all day long. That's all, you know, and you might be right. You know, you and I have a chance. But with God, you ain't got no chance. You can forget it. Okay, that's just like saying when God sent me to hell. Let's see if I can talk my way out of here. Next time I see him walking through here, I'm going to ask him, I'm going to cry real loud and holler and scream and say, please, Jesus, I've been here a long time. Get me out of here. And his heart's going to break. You already broke his heart, okay? Like you're living in sin and not accepting his free gift of salvation. You have broken his heart already, okay? Because he already died for you. He already took your burdens upon him. He already took your sins upon him. He already took all the infirmities, sickness, and disease that was to come upon you. He has taken those things already upon him. He has bore them. He has nailed them to the cross, and he has said it is finished. And if they want healing, healing is theirs. Mm-hmm. If they want salvation, salvation is theirs. If they want to be delivered from any devil, deliverance is theirs, because I nailed it to the cross. Glory to the Lamb. And I descended and I ascended. Glory to the Lamb. Now, you can say anything you want to say, but the judge of all the earth has already rendered your judgment. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Right now, your judgment is rendered. So if you die in your sins right now, you're going to hell.
Amen.
Is that straight enough for you? Is that stiff enough for you?
Yes, sir.
Well, if it's not, it will be. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you realize what God did right here with this Ananias and Sapphira? These people got baptized. They were baptized people, okay? And no doubt they had some part of God's spirit in them. Thank you, Jesus. No doubt.
Yeah.
And no doubt that God had been moved upon them to sell all that they had and to give it to God. But at some point, deception crept in. Hallelujah. How did deception creep in? When they listen to the devil, how deception creeps in, because you got an adversary. You better remember that one thing. If you don't remember nothing else, you better remember you got an adversary and that he's active.
Amen.
He's got a demonic network. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He got a demonic network that keep up with everything, every sin, every fault, everything that you've done. He knows it, okay? He knows everything that you've done. Now, he don't know your heart. He don't know your mind. He don't know those things that's in you, okay, like God knows you. But he knows the things that you've done, okay, in this earth.
Amen.
He knows those things. Hallelujah. But Peter said in the third verse, he said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine? Wasn't it yours? It was yours,
Amen.
Right? And after
Amen.
It was sold, was it not in your hand? And was it not in your own power? Right?
Amen.
Why hast thou deceived? That means he had to play along with Satan. And this was his property in the first place. He could have said, well, God, I'm only going to give God so much.
Yeah.
And God would have said, okay. Because God only wants the part that you want to give him. Okay?
Hallelujah.
God don't want you to give him something that you don't want to give him. All right? That's how God is. God don't want a gift from you that's begrudging. Thank you, Jesus. He said and said, well, I hate to give that to God. Well, God don't want it. Keep it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. God don't want your filthy gift. It's a filthy gift in the first place. Do you understand? You have to give God whatever you give God. You have to give it to Him it freely and of a pure heart and of a pure thought. It has to be from your a gift from you. Hallelujah. Truly. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananias and Sapphira didn't do that. Talked to him. The devil talked to her. She talked to him. They got together and they agreed with Satan. And they said, "Yeah, we're gonna say yes. We sold it for so much, and we gave it all to him to the Lord." But they lied.
Amen.
That's a lying spirit. You mean God's gonna strike me down for lying? If God is sending you to hell for lying, why wouldn't He strike you down for lying? Jesus.
We don't
consider these things, okay? We think that because the mercy of God is so great. But these things are in the scripture for an example to you, that you may know that, hey, you ain't got no guarantee that you're going to be walking the next minute, that you're going to be living the next minute. You ain't got no guarantee. But we think we got a guarantee. We think because we got life in our lungs now and we can breathe, I'm always going to have this. Don't you know that every breath that you take, God gives it to you? We don't understand that, do we? Well, you're about to understand that in a little while. You know, you're about to understand that. You didn't understand that before, but you're about to understand all the things that's about to come upon this world. You're about to understand that. Because when these pestilence, when all these things come upon the earth, when all these different infirmities, when all these different insects, it's going to be different insects you never saw hit the earth. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be all kind of things that hit the earth. And it's going to be all to try to bring men back to Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
As long as you live at that time and you don't die, you got a chance to repent. But they that die in these things that God is sending up on the earth, they're going to go to hell. And they that's living and enter into the mark of the beast, when the mark of the beast come, you might well sign your tail over to Satan. You know why? Because everybody that go into the mark of the beast and receive the mark of the beast, everybody receive that mark, whether it be in their forehead or in their hands. Hallelujah. Well, everybody that received that mark is going to, what's going to happen to them? They're not going to have any hope to be saved. They're going to the Revelation promises that everybody that received that mark is going to hell, and they're going to follow right after Satan.
Amen.
You know why? Because you ain't going to have no power. Because you ain't going to have no power to resist Satan when that mark of the beast come. If you haven't been sealed up unto Christ, okay? Thank you, Jesus. You don't understand, and you don't understand the thing that's finna come up on this earth. You don't understand how the power, hallelujah, of the evil one is going to be, hallelujah, going to be magnified. Because and it's going, you know how it's magnified? Because we gave him magnification. We magnify the devil because we gave the devil dominion. Thank you. Do you remember last night I was telling you about? We give the devil dominion, and I told you other times that we give with our liberty, with our freedom, hallelujah, with our freedom of choice, we give Satan liberty over us, okay? We give Satan dominion over us, okay? We give Satan power over us. We give Satan power in the world. That's how Satan gets power, okay? He don't get Satan, the demons don't get power by sucking life out of people. I know you probably heard that stupid saying, and Satan get power here, demons get power by sucking the life out of human beings because they don't have no life of their own. Satan don't need your life to live. They're spirits. They don't need your life. They don't need the life of no battery. Okay, you probably heard that stupid thing too, right? That stupid saying by Satan. You know, Satan, the demons, they come in the room and they suck all the power out of the batteries because
That's how they manifest themselves. Oh, Satan needs power from a battery to manifest himself. How stupid does that sound? Does that sound stupid or what? Right? Now, don't say Satan don't need no power from no real back battery, no real back battery. Okay, no ever ready battery. Okay, no. What's that other one that the little rabbit be doing? Little rabbit be going round and round in circles. Okay, he don't need He don't need no power from no car battery. Okay, that means to manifest himself. They're demons, and they was angels. That power that they had is still with them. Okay, you don't understand that. Think, sitting around thinking, listening to these idiots, thinking they know something about about devils. They don't know nothing about devils. They don't know nothing about human spirit. They don't know nothing about anything. All the stuff they've been telling you is lies. Okay, don't believe all that garbage. Okay, and Satan sucked in Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, and got them to agree with him. To try to lie to the Lord.
My
Praise
Lord.
To Jesus. And Ananias hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these words. Now, you may think that God doesn't do that. You may think that the judge of all the earth don't do that. That is the only God can do that. You will fall dead. You will die in your sins if you keep going. Okay? Hallelujah. You'll wake up, you'll go to sleep, and you'll wake up in hell. You'll go to sleep in your bed and wake up in hell. Thank you, Jesus. You understand that, but you will. Sixth verse says, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Hallelujah. And it was about the space of three hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, it was her time to be straight. She could have been straight. But she didn't she didn't know what had happened, okay? And
Amen.
Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. She lied. Then Peter said
Amen.
Unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, another reason why God let this story be gotten out to the church, okay, is so that they'll understand what place they are in, okay? When you get into a certain place with God, you cannot sin. Do you understand that?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know, when you're a babe and you don't know no better, God will let you skip. Maybe God will let you skip, okay? But when you get to a certain, when the body of Christ get to a certain place where they walking in the glory of God, and God is doing all type of supernatural, wondrous works amongst them, hallelujah, and God is manifesting himself unto them, how you think they gonna get away with lying to the Lord, with doing all type of evil works amongst? The reason why people get away with it now, because they don't know God. And God takes that in account that you don't really know him. And, you know, a lot of churches don't know Jesus. They think they know Jesus. You don't even have an idea. A lot of you pastors don't have an idea, okay? You just going on and on and on in your own ways, you ain't never even came close to what it is to be close to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And that's because a lot of people haven't desired to come close to Christ. They don't want to come close to Christ. They just want to do their little, you know, they go to church, you know, they little thing that's comfortable for them, okay. They want to go to church, okay, have a little preaching service, okay, have a little a baptismal maybe and something like that, okay, but that's it, okay. But
Amen.
They don't really want to seek God the way you're supposed to seek God and coming close to him, okay, and like the children of Israel. When they came close to Jehovah, what happened to them in a lot of times? Do you ever read it? Do you ever read it? Let's read some about
Amen.
That, okay? Hallelujah. I'm going to lay something on you right now.
Amen.
This is Numbers, the 16th chapter, starting at the first verse. Hallelujah. And this whole chapter is about destruction. Thank you, Jesus. About God's destruction upon the disobedient, hard-headed, okay? So I'm not going to try to read this whole thing to you, okay? But I'm gonna read through it real quick, okay? Just for you, okay? Just a little bit, okay? Now, this is the first verse, okay? Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram. Do you remember the names of Dathan and Abiram?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
They the ones, the sons of Eliab, and on the sons of Peleg, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Okay, these were men that was known to be men of renown that was supposed to be righteous men, okay? Now this is the house of Israel, okay? And all of the house, these are all people of God, okay? They're all people of God. Thank you, Jesus. But sometimes the people of God think that they get irreverent sometimes. You know, sometimes the people of God get irreverent. And they said, you think you're the only one who had the Holy Ghost? I got the Holy Ghost, too. And say things like that, right? You think you're the only one? I got the Holy Ghost just like you, brother. I don't need you telling me nothing. But a lot of people do that, okay? And they rose up against Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So they mean that they was men that was well known among all the I don't know how many. It was like 2 million of Israel there, okay, and they was known of them. And third verse said they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. So they put this badge of holiness upon themselves and said, yeah, we're holy too, just like you, Moses.
Amen. Amen.
Every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. That's what they told Moses. He asked him, why are you lifting yourself up above the God's congregation? You ain't better than us. We better. We holy just like you holy,
Amen.
Moses. We are the people of the Lord. You can't talk to us in any manner. You can't just manhandle us. Fourth verse says what? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Because Moses was a meek and man, he was very meek. The Lord said he was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Glory to the Lamb. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. So he said, the Lord's gonna pick who is the man that's to lead this people, okay? Because these people
Amen.
Didn't want to be led anymore by Moses. So they was murmuring, okay, they were speaking against him, and then they gathered themselves together. They finally said, well, we're gonna have a talk with Moses and set him straight. And he ain't the only leader, and he ain't the only person here that's holy. We holy too, just like him. Okay, we're gonna set him straight. We're gonna get him straight. We're gonna do. But they forgot about God, didn't they? I think they kind of forgot about the Lord God.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb. And he spake unto Korah and unto accompany his saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his. Okay? Sixth verse says, this do take you censers. You know what censers is? That's the thing that you put the incense in, that burn the incense, that, you know, so you could go in and out, you know, this place or that place, and burn the incense. Okay, the incense was holy, and it represent the Lord will keep you if you burn that incense amongst yourself, okay? And Korah, all company, they took censers. And seventh verse says, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord choose, he shall be holy. He take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And so they said it again, right?
Amen.
Who you think you are? Okay, each verse says, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, deem it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. Turn the page, okay? And to stand before the congregation to minister unto them, and he has brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause, these was Levites, okay? Do you know what a Levite is?
Mm-hmm.
That's the people that had had the office of priest of the priesthood, okay? So that's why they was well known. These was ministers.
Amen.
Glory to
Amen.
Jesus. These was ministers. That's standing up to Moses, talking down to Moses, okay? Telling him he ain't the only one that's holy. The 11th verse
Amen.
Says, for which cause both you and all this thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that he murmured against him? Okay? And Moses sent, so they were serious talking to God against Moses and Aaron, right? They wanted to cast both of them out, right? They didn't like the Ten Commandments law, okay, that God had, you know, God had put upon them. They didn't like that. And so they thought
Amen.
That Moses had went up in the mountain, he had carved it himself, okay? He had carved those Ten Commandments, and to have power over them. That's what they thought. Because that's what they accused him of in one place, okay? A couple of places. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that flowed with milk and honey? This is what they said, okay? This is what Dathan said and his group of people. To kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. So they accused Moses of bringing him out there under false pretenses so that he could become a prince over them, okay? So they forgot everything that happened. Hallelujah. They forgot all the ten, all those plagues, all those pestilence that God brought upon the Egypt, okay, to bring them out. And the opening of the Red Sea, they forgot all that. They acting like Moses had done all this stuff, okay? you see how blind people get, and they was accusing Moses of bringing them out. Moses didn't bring you out. Moses didn't have the power to bring you out. God brought you out, knucklehead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 14th verse says, moreover, thou hast not brought into a land that floweth with milk and honey. They wanted it right then, right then, right there. Okay, they want the land flowing with milk and honey right now. We don't want to wait. Or giving us inheritance of fields and vineyards, wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. So so they told Moses, we ain't coming up there.
Amen.
And Moses called them up right there. He said, we ain't coming. Man, that but it wasn't. It's really not funny, okay? But they told Moses, they said, we're not coming up, you know? And Moses, the 15th verse says, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow. So Moses said, all of you be up here tomorrow. Okay, all of you. Right? All of that company.
Amen.
And take every man his censer and put incense in them and bring it before the Lord. That was an offering to the Lord. That incense was an offering to the Lord, okay? But you can't offer things to the Lord in your sin, okay? And he told those men to bring up that offering, okay? And he said, we're going to bring up our offering. And if the Lord accepts, whoever the offering the Lord accepts, that's the person that's right. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 17th verse says, and take every man his censer and put incense in them. Bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense therein, thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Aaron gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. So the Lord appeared there. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. So God was about to destroy them. God told Aaron and Moses to separate themselves. And so in 22nd verse it said, and they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Because God was about to destroy them all. All that whole congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle, and Korah, Dathan, and Abram. Get from around those three men, okay? And Moses arose up and went unto the Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest he be consumed in all their sins. Now that's where I'm going to stop right there, okay? Thank you, Jesus. But I want you to understand one thing, that judgment is coming upon this earth, okay? And it's going to be swift. It's going to be sure. And it's going to pinpoint the people that should be pinpointed. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to give it back to I'll do the rest of this tomorrow. God bless
Amen.
You. Brother.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. We are grateful, and I pray that you listen to what my brother brought before you. Once again, as I said before, we are dealing with a subject here that is very serious, a subject where that, you know, we have to let people know the truth. And this is a principle that, along with the others, make up the foundation.
Amen.
And if you get off this, If you get off this, you getting off the foundation of Christ. If you teaching people that, hey, God's a loving God, you ain't got to worry about giving account or anything, you getting off the foundation, okay?
Amen.
If you start teaching people that, you know, that they ain't got no accountability, okay? It's why you find so many people church hopping. And then they go to,
amen,
and they stay at particular church. You know, people starting to love places that don't, you know, have no accountability, okay?
Amen.
You know,
that's right.
While the preacher up there preaching in the service, and you can play on your cell phone while he preaching. They see, they like those kind of churches, okay? Amen. Hey,
amen.
I can play
that's
Bingo
right.
on my cell phone while he up there preaching away. While he doing the twang and the twang from his voice, I can be calling somebody and talking in there, you know, on the cell phone. People, you notice people start to love these type of churches. And see, that's why when you're talking to someone who said, well, I had to leave the church to go to another church, it's best for you to really kind of dig deep instead of just taking stuff at face value, because sometimes,
yeah,
you know, people, they have you to think one thing when it's another. Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yep,
what? One of the famous things I've heard many people talk about is pastor. They said, well, I left because I just wasn't getting fed. And so if you just took that at face value, you'll be thinking that pastor ought to be ashamed of himself. It's his job to feed the people. Well, when you find out that the person you're talking to rarely came to service, and then when they did come, they were late, you know, you go like, wait a minute now. I done jumped all
amen
over the pastor for not feeding
amen
you. You weren't coming to church, and they weren't you coming on time, you know.
Amen.
And, you know, you go to, like, man, that's why, you know, you have to be careful when people be telling
yeah
you this stuff. I
yeah
had to leave
yeah
that church because I wasn't getting fed. Oh, you weren't getting fed, yeah. And next thing you know, you're talking about the pastor, that low-down pastor. Don't he know he's a man of God? He's supposed to be feeding them. What's wrong with him? You find out later on, the person that told you that, they only came to service on a holiday. Okay? You like, okay, wait a minute now. You didn't tell me that. And then when they did come, they never would come on time. So no wonder
amen
they tell me, I wasn't getting fed. You wasn't on time to get fed. But see, you had to blame someone else. Okay?
Amen.
So they want to run the churches. And see, a lot of times, why some of them leave, because some of them places start holding them accountable.
Yeah.
And they ain't liking that. So, it's time to break camp. Time to get up out of here. And we're going to say a bunch of foul words about the preacher because he's low down. And what he do, you know, we're going to just taint his name and then we're going to go on by our business. Okay? That preacher ain't no good. Okay? Amen. But that's what people,
amen,
yeah, I just listen to people through the years. If
amen
you are a church that has no accountability, they would join you in a heartbeat.
Amen.
Okay? People wants to do whatever they want to do in service with no respect for God. They want to let their children run around in service, play cops and robbers in service, jumping around, shooting little cap guns. They want all that done in service. You know what?
Yep.
They don't want you to say nothing.
Nope.
If you go to them and say, look, brother, sister, listen, you gotta take control of your children. Oh, that low-down brother Robert. Oh, my goodness. He says something to me about my kids. I don't like that. Next thing you know, they come out, I had to leave the church with brother Robert. Pastor said, why? He was picking on me. He was. And so you didn't watch yourself. You'll be talking about brother Rob. Brother Robbie ought to be shaming himself. He don't go pick on people.
Yeah.
He's a man of God. And see, when you find out later on that the person you told that was letting their sons, their daughters, and all that doing the slide all down the middle of the aisle and everything while service going on, then you going, oh, man, you didn't tell
amen
me that. Wait a minute. I didn't talk about brother Robert like I did because I was going on what you were saying. Well, you didn't get the full information. And God
amen
has taught me that. I learned that when people be doing that talking and church hopping, okay?
Yep.
When you find a lot of them church hopping, most of the time, I ain't going to say every time, but most of the time, they church hopping because there's some accountability going on that they don't like. Hey,
amen.
I want to come to service. I want to wear whatever I want to wear. I mean, as a man, I want to wear with my shirt open a little bit so I can show my chest hair and have a big earring in my ear so when I walk in there, that light hits your eyes and you go, man, what is that on his ear? And that's a big earring in my ear. Or being a woman, I want to come in dressing the shortest something, the tightest something, and the most revealed something, even if you can see through it, okay? And I don't want the pastor to say nothing to me, okay? And that's the kind of church I want. Amen.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, that I mean, that's what we're looking at in this day and time, okay? So God
yes.
had taught me about that to really, you know, sometimes you have to dig deep. You can't just take on face value. You got to really talk to the person or let – sometimes you just let them talk. Sometimes,
yes.
as you hear the term, don't worry about it, they'll hang themselves if you let them talk.
Yes.
Many times
yes.
that's true because if you just let
yes.
them talk and just listen,
yes.
you'll start finding
yes.
out from the beginning of the conversation to the end,
yes, you will.
A whole lot of changes came up in that conversation. Okay, it started off with the lowdown pastor, and it ended up that, oh, I just come to church like once every 5 months. You'll be like, man, you finna have me to get mad at this pastor, and you won't even hardly show up for service. What is this? Okay, you know, and now you done went around and bad mouthed the pastor now. Okay, amen. And as soon as the pastor start, you know, telling them, say, listen, Y'all have to start coming to church on time. Y'all coming 20, 30 minutes late. Oh, that pastor, he just don't understand. He don't understand. Next thing you know, they want to look for another church because he had no business saying it to them according to them. He had no business holding them accountable, okay?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
When he tells them, say, hey, we got to respect the service of the Lord, oh, that pastor, he's something wrong with him. Or when he tell a brother or a sister who jumping up and cackling and rolling on the ground, say, hey, brother, sister, look, you got to calm down. Oh, you ain't letting the Holy Ghost lead. You know, now they want to go. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Well, people really love, and I call them unaccountable churches. They love them.
That's right.
They love them. They don't mind
right.
being a member there. Okay? So as we get ready, my brother, get ready to offer up a closing prayer to you pastors that are listening. And I'm talking about when you were standing in right and you were holding accountability and people left, you hold on to God. Because God is going
Amen.
To God is going to send you some people that don't mind being held accountable. Okay?
Right.
He's going to send you. Amen. He's going to send you some people that ain't going to mind being held accountable. See, you've been dealing with people that don't want to be held accountable. They've been coming late. They've been talking. They've been doing all this stuff, doing service. And you going in the right spirit, say, hey, brother, sister, listen, you know, that's not a God you need to. Oh, no, you didn't. What's wrong with you? I don't want to. And then they quit showing up. Okay. And sometimes people look at that, and the first person they look at is you. Oh, pastor, what you done? You ain't got but 3 members. What have you done? What's wrong with you? You must have messed up real bad. Okay? That's not the case all the time. Sometimes
Amen.
Those pastors were standing in the right, and the people that left
Amen.
Was the one that didn't want to be held accountable. Okay?
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Well, I know that ain't a popular message I gave, but I had to give it. I wasn't intending to say this, but I had to say it. Okay?
Amen.
And that's the thing about it, accountability. Okay?
Yes.
So to you pastors that's listening, hey, once again, you hold on to the Lord Jesus. God is going to send some people that don't mind being held accountable, okay? They ain't going to mind want to come on time. They ain't going to mind want to follow the order of God. They're not going to mind it, okay? Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So I'm going to let my brother offer up a closing prayer here. Go ahead, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord God,
yes, Lord.
For the consistency of your word, because your word is consistent, Lord God. It's straight, Lord God, and it's a circle, Lord God, that goes around and comes back to you, Lord God. The God that gave it, it goes back to you, Lord Jesus. You are the God of creation. You are the God that created everything. Hallelujah. You are the God, hallelujah, that's over everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, you do not control everyone, but you are over everyone, oh Lord God. And Lord God, you do rule, and Lord, you do things according to your will, your purpose, and your plan. Thank you, Father, for being God, for you being God.
Yes,
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word being true, that your word is truth, that you are the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. For the power of truth, oh Lord God. For the healing truth, oh Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your truth. Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that you mean what you say and say what you mean. You do it, oh Lord God. You have done it, God. Hallelujah. In the Old and New Testament, you showing your face, oh Lord God, that you are the God of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are, hallelujah. You are holy, righteous, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You are not a toy. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, let this be put in the minds, hearts, and your people, Lord God, that hell is coming, Lord Jesus, that is coming for them, Lord God, if they're not ready to receive you, Lord Jesus, if they have repented their sins, they're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, they're going to hell.
Yes, Lord
God, hallelujah, and let these words, Lord God, come alive in their hearts. Give them life, Lord God, that they might fear you, Lord Jesus, and not man, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Amen. Bless Christ, the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Once again, brother, it's been another blessed broadcast. I thank God for you, brother, with us tag teaming on the broadcast. Really been a blessing. For me to be able to do this. And I want to say to the people, tomorrow night, part 5 of Eternal Judgment, once again, for those of you that first-time listeners or just listening later, you saying, oh, my goodness, man, y'all ain't got so many parts to this. Why y'all just can't do one? Well, when you're teaching the Word of God, you just don't cram it all into one, okay? So if you ain't learned by now by me and my brother, you're gonna learn that we don't cramp. I mean, if the Spirit of the Lord gave that we did a particular just one part, that's different. But for the most part, you know, when we're teaching the word, we ain't cramming it all into one part, okay?
Amen.
Because if we did that, then many of you definitely wouldn't want to listen to us again, because your brain would still be hurting. For all that we trying to cram up in there, and you be like, I need a break, okay? And I'm just listening to y'all the first time. So, therefore, you'll notice about us, we do it in parts, amen? And we don't do it just to be dragging something on, but we want you to get it, amen? So, tomorrow night, part 5, Eternal Judgment, at 7 o'clock, the Lord say the same. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night. So, once again, for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you all. God bless you and
love
God
you.
Keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.